Hi everyone, welcome to the College Exploration Spotlight Series. My name is Victoria and I work for the Charlotte Mecklenburg Library. Each episode, we're going to be interviewing current or recently graduated students at a variety of schools for teens to learn more about colleges before applying. Finding the right school to fit your wants and needs can be hard, but the library is here to help. Let's have some fun and explore these schools together. All opinions expressed by interviewees are solely their current opinions and do not reflect the opinions of Charlotte Mecklenburg Library or its affiliates. Their opinions are based upon their experiences and information in which they consider to be reliable. Today's interview is with Londo. So hi, thank you so much for talking with me today.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thank you so much.
So to get started, what school did you attend?
Well, actually, in high school, I did 3 years at Myers Park in Charlotte. But then once I got to college, man, I had so many different things I was running through my head, but I ended up attending Wake Forest University, and that's where I still am right now.
That's awesome. So for anyone who doesn't know, where is Wake Forest located and what is that city or town like?
Gotcha. So Wake Forest University, small liberal arts college in North Carolina, located in Winston-Salem. And that's a little confusing because it was founded in Wake Forest, North Carolina. And if you just type Wake Forest in your GPS, you're going to go to our old campus. But no, we're located in Winston-Salem, the city of arts and innovation. And it's a really cool city. I mean, just the title itself, right? It's arts and innovation. I'm someone who's very involved in the art scene. And so it was wonderful being a college student here in a smaller city, nothing like Charlotte or New York. So I could get to know artists personally, musicians especially. And so it's really cool to see how this small city has continuously grown throughout the years that I've been here.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's really great that you went to high school here. So you have the ability to understand like what local teens will have experienced growing up in Charlotte and what it would be like the difference between this and Winston-Salem. And, you can compare it a little bit easier.
Absolutely. And it is interesting because I grew up in Italy until I was 15 in Florence. And then I moved to Charlotte for 3 years of high school, then to Wake Forest. So I've honestly spent more time here in Winston and I've come to really enjoy the area that I live in right now.
That's really cool that you started off in Florence and then, to be end up in North Carolina and everything. That's really neat. I love that.
Yeah. It's been quite the journey.
I'm sure. Absolutely. So how would you rate your overall experience at Wake Forest?
As a student or as an employer?
I would say student or both. Either way you want to go.
Yeah. Let me define. As a student, I like to describe it as one of the best playgrounds I've ever been on. And the reason why is because you get to make up your own path, your own games here at Wake Forest. I think one of the coolest things is that students don't have to declare their major when they apply, which I think
nice.
A lot of, oh my gosh, yes. A lot of times we're high school students, we're finishing all our APs or honors courses or whatever classes you're taking. And the last thing you're worrying about is what am I going to major in 4.5 years from now?
Yeah.
And that's a lot to ask out of a high school student. Now, for some people, they've got it figured out. They start working at it towards day one. And I applaud them because that's really cool that you've got it figured out already. But for some people like myself, where I was thinking music, I was thinking the sciences, I was also thinking, maybe going into what my sister did, which was a philosophy major. I mean, I was going through all these different topics in my head. And then I realized, oh, Wake Forest gives students 2 years. You're the spring of your sophomore year is when you declare your major. So during those first 2 years, you're encouraged to take all sorts of different classes to really diversify your curriculum.
And that's wonderful.
Oh my gosh, yeah. And if it's something that, maybe you're not going to be the best at, or it's going to be extremely challenging for you, there's so much you get to learn from those experiences.
Absolutely. That's really great. I do love that, honestly. I think that's really fantastic because, I had to declare my major at my first school that I attended and then I transferred, and each school has different requirements for what they require you to do when you start and what general education things are required. And so I didn't get to explore the way I would have liked to. So I think, especially for high school students who aren't completely positive what it is they want to do, that's a really great thing to look for in an institution, especially, now knowing that Wake Forest offers that and really encourages it too.
And the beauty of it is that most of our students at the end of the 4 years, they'll have two majors and a minor, or in my case, a major and two different minors. And a lot of times in areas that maybe at first we don't think relate to one another, but I can promise you here at Wake Forest, being an engaged liberal arts curriculum, as we like to call it, there are so many ways we like to just infuse different subjects into one another to really get this holistic perspective on your education.
And I love that, because you did say it as an employer as well. So you do work at Wake Forest as well. So you have a really unique, you know, experience and vision on it from not only having been a student, but also being an employee as well. So you know a lot about it.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. And I currently work in the admissions office. So I not only am I learning about the university as a whole a little bit better from, you know, the background side, not living as a student anymore, but also understanding, you know, what kind of high school curriculums are really good for students to prepare them, absolutely, not just for Wake Forest, but just for college in general.
Absolutely. So, I mean, just to go off of that, it's not, you know, one of the typical questions that I end up asking, but from your perspective, what would you say, you know, is something that a university would be looking for and when they're going through admissions from like prospective people?
You know, what I've learned from being a student and working at the admissions office here is that every university has different ways they like to kind of gauge a student's interest. How will they perform here? Once, you know, they've kind of gone through the motions of the first weeks of figuring out what this campus looks like. I can tell you for certain what we do here at Wake Forest is that we like the student to represent themselves as they want to in their own terms. Something that we really value is when students kind of open up about their quirkiness. And that's why if you look at our application year after year after year, we have a lot of supplementals, which are very open-ended, because we want the students to talk about themselves in their own terms. That's why we're test optional. We don't want students to be defined by a single number. You know, some students have the resources to prepare for them. Some students don't. And so what we really like to see is, how do you represent yourself when you have a completely open field? Talk about subjects that you like, hobbies that you're interested in, not necessarily that more formal way, which is, I guess you could say, number-based or based on a single grade.
Absolutely. I actually really love that. When I was looking at institutions when I was in high school, which feels forever ago now, I was actually looking at schools that are considered under the like alternative or progressive type of university initially, because I was so worried about what it would look like when they would see that there were classes that I struggled in and that I didn't do as well in high school because I didn't fit the mold of a student who did well on tests. And I'm not math or science, you know, specific, like I'm not great with that, but I flourished in my English and my art courses and everything. So I really thought it was important that like, I look for a university who may look at me a little bit more holistically versus seeing, okay, well, her SAT score was this number and this is this, you know, and like seeing that. And it's nice to see that there's, you know, a four-year, you know, university, a liberal arts university who looks at students this way, because I think that will help settle anxiety with students who are looking at school thinking, okay, so they're going to really look at me for who I am and not that one day where I didn't sleep enough and I sat through the SAT and I didn't do so great, you know, like they're going to see me for more than that.
And that's, you know, I get students asking me all the time, you know, if I don't submit my score, does it mean I did poorly and it will reflect negatively? It's like, no, you know, we understand that sometimes 4 hours on a Saturday morning doesn't look like your 4 years, the 4-year progression of high school. And it's important for us to give you multiple options on how you want to be reviewed. We also offer interviews, optional interviews to get to talk to you for 20 minutes. We have all those open-ended questions where you get to literally bring into those questions whatever you want to talk about, because they're so open-ended, but they get you to critically think, which I think is the important part too.
Absolutely.
And also, you know, letters of recommendation, teachers, other people outside of school, getting to know how members of society think about you, how they value your presence. And all of this is so, it gives us so much information that of course we shouldn't just base it on one single number. And that was my fear. I had moved to, like I said, to Charlotte when I was 15. Now, I was fortunate enough that my mom's American. I could speak English. I was bilingual, but writing in English is a whole other monster.
Yes.
Taking tests in a language that I haven't done for the first 15 years of my life was so hard. And I remember the first day I took the SAT, I didn't even know I was taking it that day. I walk into school. My teacher tells me, you got to go to homeroom. We're offering the SAT for you today. And I was like, the what now?
Can
I get in?
No.
And I had no clue. My friends were preparing for it. And this was like a, you know, I think it was one of those practice ones that you could use to consider for your score.
Yeah.
And I didn't even finish. I didn't even finish.
That and must have been a lot.
Yeah, of course it was. It was a sophomore year. I'm trying to think of like, oh man, I'm starting to have to think about college. And now I've got this horrible SAT score that how am I supposed to bring up? You know, I haven't started. A lot of people get to start in middle school, but not everyone does. And we have to think about everyone. We can't just base it on those that are privileged enough to have those opportunities right at their doorstep.
Absolutely. I mean, I could not agree more. You're taking the words right out of my brain. So I love that. I love that. And I love that it's coming from somebody who not only attended a university that thinks this way, but you also work there. So, you know, like you're a valuable resource for someone to listen to this and understand, okay, there are universities out there. There are ones who see that way. So I love that. That's fantastic.
And I think, you know, a lot more universities are moving towards that progressive mindset because we understand that an intellect isn't just, you know, your formal idea of a student in a classroom putting down information and getting that perfect score. Someone can be an incredible contributor to society, but maybe that school that they attended, that they had to attend because it was within their area code, just wasn't preparing them like they should have.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think especially now that we're living in, you know, a COVID world and they're not able to do SAT and ACT testing, it should be interesting to see how other universities and schools, you know, also have to move forward with stuff like this. And how do they determine their admission process as well with not being able to include scores like that? So how do you do that? So it's going to be very interesting to see how every university moves in that direction.
A lot of universities depend on that. So, and we've been doing it for, I don't know, like over 15 years now, or close to 15 years. So it's something that we're used to. And I guess, you know, obviously we have to think positively during these times of the pandemic. And I guess one of those positive things is that we're thinking about how we're evaluating a prospective college student, and it's not going to be that number. And I work a lot with international students, and a huge, I don't like using this word market, but a huge interest, there we go, comes from China, which is a very test-driven educational system.
Yes.
And when I talk about, when I went to Beijing, I went to Shanghai, and I talked about how we're a test-optional school, it was really interesting to understand like this cultural difference that we have on how you look at someone's performance, because it's such a test-driven environment there with the Gaokao, with like SAT and ACT, where students fly across the world to go take it. I mean, it's incredible the kind of measures they go through.
Absolutely. I never thought about it that way.
Yeah. And to let them know, it's like, hey, if you don't have the possibility of literally going all the way to, most students will go like to the West Coast, right?
Yeah.
In China, go take the SAT. It's like, if you don't have the opportunity, something happens, it's okay. We, and I'm sure other universities, like UChicago recently went test optional. We'll look at you in different ways, and we can appreciate you not just based on that one number.
Absolutely. Yeah. I love that. All right. So what would you say is your favorite part about having attended Wake Forest?
Well, you know, as I was a high school student, there was so much that I was thinking about. Like at first I was thinking conservatory, classical music. That's what I'd done my whole life.
Yeah.
I was like, this is what but then I was like, oh, Wake Forest, like they've got a great music department and so many other options to the point where you can create your own major or minor. And I think, yeah, it's touching on that creative approach towards an education. I had 2 years to figure out what I wanted to study, but more so here at Wake Forest, we encourage our students to find out that yes, being in a classroom is important, but how do you engage with the resources of a university? How do you go and, you know, take your interest that maybe starts from the classroom, from those discussions you're having with your professor and classmates, and how do you allow that to bring yourself into the community to become an integral member? So we put a huge emphasis here that your hobbies, your passions, what you do in your free time can be one of the more important aspects of your four-year track. Because honestly, in the world that we live in today, you won't always be in a classroom. I mean, heck, if you become a professor, then yeah, maybe your world does revolve in a classroom. But the idea that there's so much more to learn, and not just from that very formal idea of academia, the diversity of your student body, the community around your university, I can't tell you how many times just by being immersed at trying something new, putting myself in vulnerable positions, and the university really kind of promotes that, allows you to grow all the more holistically. And that's the word we like to use a lot, holistic, because we want to allow you to grow, you know, after these 4 years, not just as a student, but as a more well-rounded person. And absolutely, that is something that to this day, I'm so thankful for, because I not only get a degree in areas that I was interested in and took so many fun classes and interesting classes, but I established relationships with people that were very different from me or had the same interest as me musically, for instance. And we allowed that to grow into something bigger.
That's awesome. I really do love that. I really, really do. I mean, because I just think it's such a cool opportunity, because I guess when I first started school, I didn't really know what I wanted to do. And then I started looking at my programs and I started figuring things out. And I ended up double minoring because I could, because so many more things, like you said earlier, blend together more than you think they do. And one of my minors was American Studies, which sounds weird and it sounds oddly vague, but it meant that I was taking history courses and I was taking courses that covered decade topics. So I was learning about the 1970s and studying the music and the politics just as much as I was doing classes on, you know, women in American history, or just like very interesting things. And my diverse knowledge and experiences from discussions and readings and things honestly played out into other things that I did, and my education and my experiences ended up being how I got into the job that I have today. But it wasn't just from one specific class or like, these are the things I did, you know, very strict and rigid. It was like all of my interests and all of my stuff applied. So it's fantastic. And I love hearing it that other schools and other people are experiencing things this way. Cause I think that's really the way we should be progressing. So I think that's wonderful.
And we encourage our students, you know, like I said, the spring of your sophomore year is when you declare your major here at Wake Forest.
Yeah.
And I added two more minors halfway through my junior year and at the beginning of my senior year, because I was taking all these different classes that I just found, for me personally, interesting.
Yeah.
I started to realize like, oh my gosh, like I've accredited a lot of hours. Like I can get two minors here. And so I did. And so I ended up, you know, my first interest and what I ended up majoring in was psychology. And what's beautiful about the way we like to do our system here is like, I didn't just get a degree in psychology. I got to specify. I took mostly bio physiological psychology courses, because that's simply what I found fascinating.
Yeah.
And then my minors, art history, cultural heritage and preservation studies, like very different from psychology.
Very.
There are different ways I was able to incorporate psychology into it. For instance, psychology major allowed me to understand fundamentally how to go about experimental designs, how to run statistics, but also how does like certain classes, you know, like developmental psychology lie into the progression of art museums, like the thought process of humans and civilizations, and finding that bond, that mixture is something that not only I was kind of developing, but the professors here encourage our students to make those connections. And that's just so cool. That
is like, really cool.
It's like, ask the other department, you know, how does this fit into your question?
That's really cool, because I mean, anyone who's listening who doesn't already know this, professors are required to continue to do research while they're on campus. And so you ignited them to start asking questions as well, you know, and like starting to make connections and to think about things. So I love that. That is really cool, honestly.
And that's one thing about Wake Forest that I really appreciate, is that here your classes are pretty small. Like my biggest class was 55 students.
Okay.
In college, that was my biggest class. My smallest class was 5 students. Every single day, no matter what class I was taking, it was a professor teaching. We didn't have TAs. That professor doing research in their field. So not only did I have a small classroom that were mostly seminars, constant discussion, I got to know the people in my classrooms personally and their opinions, but also got to figure out from the professor, how are they pushing forward the field? How are colleagues that they have and connections to from across the world expanding the field? And so it was just fascinating how conversation could allow me to learn so much more, not just historically about whatever subject I was taking, but also how it's moving forward.
That's amazing. So to sort of switch gears a little bit, what was the food like on campus? What type of options do you have there? Like, what's going on campus?
Right on. So when I first got to college, And I was leaving my Italian dad. I was like, well, so long for good Italian food. but luckily I have some recipes up my sleeve. So I definitely was able to recreate some of those classic pasta dishes. But when I got to campus, you know, we've got your classic fast, I wouldn't say fast food, but, you know, quick stops like Chick-fil-A, a salad bar, sandwich bar, a grill. When I was there, there was a Boar's Head Grill, which made awesome burgers. Now, though, it's changed into an Asian fusion bar. And this all takes place within the University Benson Center, where there's even a little restaurant called Shorty's that's modeled after a restaurant that was on our original campus in Wake Forest, North Carolina. But the main dining hall, we call it the pit. And not because of the quality of food, but because it's the lowest level of a building. It's in the pit. And you enter from the lower quad. And what's cool about the pit is that you swipe in once and it's you serve yourself. And you could spend the entire day just sitting there eating. If you really wanted to. And as I had I think my junior year, I didn't have classes on Friday, my first semester. So I would go to the pit early in the morning. And just sit down and do all my work and just kind of sit there all day. Some professors would come in, students would come in, they'd sit down, we'd chat, and I'd get to do my work. And what's cool is that there's a lot of variety. I think a part of college, like I mentioned, is not just the classroom, but it's understanding how to become an independent adult. Yes. And part of that is how to maintain a healthy diet. And so first thing you see when you walk into the pit, huge salad bar with a lot of fresh ingredients. At times, the university will even go out and beyond and try and find local farms where they can get certain produce from just to support the local area.
That's awesome.
Recently, they've launched this program with Aramark. That's like this new, I guess we're like one of the first people to test it out. We're kind of like the pilots here, where we're trying to get all the more fresh ingredients for our students. And every day, you know, you can go to the hot plate section, you can go, there's even an allergy awareness zone and gluten-free and vegan stations, just to make sure that every single student has exactly what they need, enough to make sure, you know, that they can have a healthy and wholesome diet. But we also like to include, we ask specifically our international students, you know, what are some recipes from your culture and how can we include that? And every now and then we'll have international days or weeks where you'll try food that's from a completely different part of the world. And food is one of the easiest ways to come to appreciate the diversity in your community. I mean, who doesn't like eating?
Exactly.
And so I think it's cool that we're able to use food for, you know, more than just sustenance, but also a learning process. You know,
understanding. Connection.
Oh, exactly. Exactly.
I love that. So did you live on campus?
At Wake Forest, you have to live on campus for your first 3 years. Obviously, if there's like, you know, I had a friend of mine who's allergic to dryer sheets. And I was like, how do you even have that as an allergy? But she did. And so she got to live off campus. So we make exceptions. It's not like super strict. But you do.
But that's interesting to have a requirement for the first three. So that's interesting.
It's a very campus-centered lifestyle here at Wake Forest. Like everything you might need, you can find it on campus. And you can walk from the north to the south end of campus or east to west in 20 minutes, 25 minutes.
Okay.
So it's really close. And then, you know, a small campus with an extension in the downtown area. But sorry, I'm getting a little off topic.
You're fine.
I lived on campus all 4 years because I had a scholarship that required me to do so. But here's a big but. I did this thing called, for my last 2 years, theme program housing. So they're different, whether it's corridors, hallways, and dorms, or houses that the university actually owns on the periphery of campus that are themed houses, themed living. And so there's a theater house. There was like 1 year an LGBTQIA plus house. But I lived in the sustainability house. So I lived with 11 people in one house. Okay. That were all sustainability, like kind of minded, whether it was like eco consciousness or maybe more on the side of like promoting, you know, bikes over cars for campus commutes. And what was cool is that we partnered with a sustainability office and we promoted their activities, you know, helped, volunteered with whatever the sustainability office was doing. But we also created our own programs through the sustainability house to bring to the student body more opportunities to become a little bit more sustainably minded. And in our sense, what we wanted to do was to create this idea that sustainability, yes, it's taking care of the environment. appreciating it and as many ways as you can, but also how to maintain sustainable relations on a college campus. One parallel that I always like to make is that how you treat the natural environment where people live can also reflect the way that people are relating to one another, the kind of relationships that are being fostered on there. And so if you're taking care of the environment, you can also be taking care of your people. And so that was a really huge focus to kind of connect the human condition to the natural world.
I do love that. So you've got the themed houses and everything. As far as like residence halls, are they closer to like traditional style residence halls? Do you have a blend of like the traditional, hey, everyone, you know, shares a bathroom on that hall, as well as like suite style? Like what's that stuff like?
So some are suite style. There's all sorts of different settings. There's hall style where, you know, there's a communal bathroom. But for my freshman year, for instance, I had one roommate. We had a sink in our bathroom, which was really nice. I mean, in our room. Every room comes with a mini fridge, desks, beds. And then there was a communal bathroom with showers and whatnot. But then my second year, I lived in a smaller hall style. It was only three rooms. And we had one. So it was about six people for one bathroom. So it was a bit smaller, but a lot more manageable in many ways because you didn't have like, I don't know, like 15, 20 people in one hall.
Yeah.
But then there's, you know, some students will live in the apartments on campus where literally it looks like an apartment because they used to be where the professors would live. A lot of our professors live on the campus in the neighborhood area. And, but before that was really a thing, some of these professors literally lived right on the campus and there were these apartments for those professors, which now have been transformed into apartments for students. And so if you walk into one of these, you literally walk into what looks like a living room. There's even a little kitchen and two bedrooms and a bathroom. And it's like four people, two people per apartment. And then there's also bigger ones that are a bit like suite styles where it's like four people sharing one entire space. So there are a lot of different options here at Wake Forest because we want to make sure that you have the opportunity to find, you know, where you want to live on campus. How do you want to live there? Do you want to have your personal kitchen or do you not really care about cooking, so you'd rather live somewhere else? A lot of different options for our students.
Absolutely. So can you tell me about your best or like a standout faculty experience?
Yeah. Oh, for sure. I mean, that was one thing we really pride ourselves here at Wake Forest. There's a 1-to-11 professor to student ratio. So it's really easy to get to know your professors. And like I mentioned, they're teaching every day. We don't have TAs. But one professor that really stands out, and she's just beyond a professor. She's a life mentor and a friend of mine. She is my guitar professor, Patricia Dixon. She is an incredible soul. I mean, she's a reason why I was able to go to college. College wasn't necessarily an option for me at first, just because of finances. And she and the former dean of admissions, Martha Ullman, gave me the opportunity to go to college for free. And that's why I work in the admissions office, because I want to give it back like they gave to me, to another student. It's beyond, you know, me being able to go to college for free. It's a huge relief to my family. It means that my younger brother could go to college. And so anyways, Professor Dixon, from the day we met when I was doing my interview, I set up an appointment because not a lot of classical guitars, that's what I play, that come through the university. And so when she saw that I was, you know, someone who's been studying classical guitar since I was a kid, we definitely wanted to set up a meeting and just get to know one another while I was there on campus for my interview. And from that day, I realized she's more than just a musician. She is someone who, during some really tough moments, and I think everyone in college goes through those not midlife crisis, but maybe like quarter life crisis.
Yeah.
She was there to help me. She was there to go beyond music and teach me of the importance of music in the realms of politics and the realms of mental health. She is an amazing painter. And so a lot of times when we had our lesson, we would perform, we talk about the piece I was working on, but then we'd dive into like the philosophies of art. We would dive into how musicians and artists have this, you know, really this incredible affinity to their emotions, and it's sometimes overbearing, and the only way to get over it is through the expression of your art form. She taught me how to mushroom forage on the campus in the woods around the university. Like, what professor tells me, you know, let's not do our lesson today. Let's not do our class. Let's go to the woods and I'll show you how to mushroom forage. And we talk about how you need to appreciate being isolated in the natural environment, to appreciate the things that it can give to you effortlessly. Because I think a lot of times in our globalized world, in our fast-paced world, we forget about, you know, we come from nature and we need to appreciate its values. And so that's a professor who went beyond what she was teaching to just give me life lessons.
I love that. I think that's beautiful.
Yeah. I mean, I could go on, and to this day, I go to her house. We'll have, maybe not right now because of COVID, but have dinner, talk about music, talk about our, you know, life dreams. And she's 70 years old. She just retired. She's painting. She's doing Tai Chi classes. I mean, she's the most active and healthy 70-year-old person I've ever met. And I'm like, let me fall into your footsteps.
Exactly. There's a lot to learn there. And it's beautiful to have a relationship with a professor that can not only teach you about the subject in which you are learning, but also about life and other things, and just to have that support system. Because like you said, going to college can be stressful on so many different levels. And to have a connection to someone who can help you and guide you through that is really special and very helpful to those experiences.
Absolutely. And I, you know, when I first got to Wake Forest, I told her, yeah, I'm thinking about a music major or a minor. I didn't major or minor in music, but I can guarantee you, because of the way we set up our education here, it was my number one priority, like as much as my major and minor. And to the point where I performed with as much as a major would have. I performed with a conductor that was touring in the United States that was created this piece based on Pablo Neruda's poetry. One of my first college experiences was playing in a quartet with a PhD student from Yale, with this incredible, but composer from Chile, who had written music to Pablo Neruda's poetry. And as I was performing this contemporary piece, I had his poetry being spoken over it. I mean, this, I was not even in at Wake Forest for 3 months, and this is what happened.
That's really cool.
And I wasn't even like declaring a major or minor yet. It's because if you have an interest here, talk to a professor and we will get it done. We want to tailor your experience to what you like. I got to tour Spain with the choir, accompanying on the guitar, performing pieces designed for specific environments, specific buildings, specific locations. I mean, that's a once in a lifetime, once in millions of lifetimes experiences. And I got it here because I simply said, oh, that seems interesting. How can I be a part of it?
That's really cool. So we talked about it a little bit already. What campus is like, it was easy to navigate. You said it's pretty, you know, small, and like you said, 20 minutes across, but tell me about like how it's kind of set up. Is everything really easy to access? Is everything kind of centralized?
Sure. So as a freshman, what's really nice is that all freshman students live on the south side of campus. Those are all the freshman dorms. And it's cool because you get to know, who's with you for the next 4 years. You get to live around them. You get to see just every day. And what's cool is that most of your classes are around the lower quad. All you have to do is walk across the road and you're within like 2 minutes of any class. Not something I would suggest to students, but I had an 8 a.m. philosophy course my freshman year. Sometimes I woke up late, passed my alarm, 7:50. I still got in time to class because they're right there in front of you. So you don't have to worry about catching a bus or having to run to the other side of campus because it's right there for our freshman students, which I think is really nice. That's one less thing to worry about as you're approaching college.
Yeah, that was a big deal. Like parking and where you need to be or whatever needs to happen. I went to a decently large campus. And so it was, you know, it could be really difficult to get across. So that's nice to know. You're like, even though you should be more careful about it, you can get there quickly.
yeah, exactly. And we have a bike recycle program. You can get a bicycle for $15, any repairments. If it gets stolen, you're covered just for $15. And these are bikes that I and a friend of mine restored. And then we got grants to buy new ones. And every student can basically, not every student, but a lot of students can get a bicycle. So if you have to go to their side of campus, they don't feel like walking, you want to get there faster, we have bikes just ready for our students. You don't have to worry about a car. I didn't own a car until I graduated, and it never was a problem for me, because our campus is so accessible. And I think it's cool that the first year experience, you know, right there, that's where you have your courses. You don't have to worry about, because my sister went to Duke and she would tell me, oh, I have to catch this bus at this time to get onto the other side of campus. I was like, I have to walk across the street and I'm there.
Yeah. And see, that's nice because I'm thinking back to my college experience where I would have to park in what I considered Guam and walk for 20 something minutes to get to my classes. And I had to leave super early because parking was really complicated where I was. And so that just meant that you had to leave, 45 minutes to an hour early just to make sure that you could find parking where you needed to be and then walk to class and get there and catch your breath before you started. So it was just, everyone's got different experiences. And sometimes my classes, you had to basically hike a mountain to get there. So, you just have to sort of understand that like every campus is a little bit different, but I like that that's, super close because it gives people the opportunity to stop focusing on parking and, okay, what time do I need to get up? And just be like, okay, cool. I know where I am. I know where I need to be.
You've
Time
got time.
management becomes a little bit easier.
Yeah, absolutely. And then
So,
beyond classes, though, there's like the center of campus. That's like Rinalda Building, and that's where the office of the president is, academic advising, the main cafeteria, the global and programs and studies office. So everything that essentially we do and offer as a university, those conversations are held right at the center of campus. So it's really easy for students, like, maybe navigating in the building can be a little difficult, but there's signs, but everything is pretty central. So you don't have to worry, like, if I have a question about academics, let me go to academic advising. I know that's in the middle of campus.
absolutely. So I have a feeling I kind of know the answer to this already, but were there any specific factors that led you to choose Wake Forest over any others that you may have applied at?
Definitely receiving a full ride scholarship was a huge bonus
Yes.
to making that decision, but ultimately it's the liberty that they showed a prospective student. Don't worry about finding out a major right now. Really take your time to explore our classes. You can add things once you've even declared your major. I had friends of mine who changed their major their junior year. A friend of mine declared their second major at the beginning of senior year. They ended up being at the top of their class within that second major, went on into grad school for that second major, and now is working in New York specifically for that second major he declared his last year of college. I mean,
That's
I think that's,
amazing.
we will make exceptions for every single student. And that spoke to me from the moment I started looking at the website, because it's very interactive, from my interview that I had with the former dean of admissions, Martha Allman. I got to learn that this is a place that really values who you are, not just you as a student. And that's very meaningful to me, because
Yeah.
I was a good student. Honestly, I wasn't like top of the class by any means. But they realized, that I'm not just someone who is going to regurgitate information. I like being involved in my community. I like expressing myself and creating opportunities for people to just, dive into a moment where they can forget about their daily lives and just appreciate what's happening in front of them. And I'm speaking about the arts here.
Yeah.
And the fact that the school values that as part of your education, like that being a fundamental part of it, that was just a perfect place for a creative person like myself to be in.
And see, and that makes so much sense for anyone who's listening who is interested in being, more creative, or that's just their mindset, finding an institution that reflects those things and it'll help them flourish so much more because they found someone like an institution that really is like, yes, we're so with you on this. Like, what do you need from us? Because we're here to facilitate your education. So how can we
Exactly.
assist you in that?
And the way that I've been talking about it seems like this is a very only arts school based, or arts driven school, which is, I mean, the fine arts programs here are great, but the most sought out program is our business school or the pre-med track, which is funny because there isn't a pre-med major. You major in whatever you want. You could be a theater major and still go on the pre-med track. And we get an advisor for you specifically for this pre-med interest you have. And it's worked so well that on the national average, I think Wake Forest students have a 15% higher chance of getting accepted to medical school because we allow them to take whatever trajectory they want in the 4 years while still preparing for the goals they have after college.
That's awesome. That's a great stat. I love that. Like, I love that it's like, hey, we're still super successful and you get to kind of do whatever you need to do to make to get there. And so it's showing that it's not just one track to get where you want to be. So I do love that. All right, my very last question for you. What do you wish you had known that an incoming or prospective student can benefit from?
Wow. I think one of the biggest things about college in the United States specifically, and I know this because I came from a different country.
Yes.
I saw how college in America was publicized, how it was publicly viewed.
Yes.
And yes, it's about incredible research opportunities, incredible academics, and internships. But I think one huge part is like that social atmosphere, which I think is a little bit daunting at first. You know, you think of college as this moment in your life where you're free from your parents, you're free from your household, and you get to do whatever you want. And that is true. But what I say to people is like, don't fall into thinking that what you experience and see on your first 2 weeks, your first months of college, to be the only social atmosphere on your campus. Like any new place, moving to a different country, moving down the road to a different house, there are changes that take time to adjust to. And so my biggest suggestion to any incoming student, no matter if it's Wake Forest or another university, is to seek out the perspective of different professors, different students that are very different from you. My first advisor in college was someone who was a professor in the classics. And I knew that the classics, I just knew. It's cool, mythology is great, but that's not what I want to do.
Yeah.
I learned so much from Dr. Waring. My first 2 years as he was my advisor. Just about college life, campus life. And someone who was very different in the interest that they had. Now, ultimately, we did bond over barbecue, which is something cool. But that's like one of the first topics I ever had as a conversation with a college professor was barbecue. So it made me realize I can approach these professors here very friendly in a very informal way. But I learned from him. And he was someone who had just a different life, a different background. And at first, you know, I was adjusting to all these different things that Wake Forest is presenting me in the social atmosphere that I'm talking about. But I was able to find my own niche areas, because every time I was meeting someone new, I asked them about what they were doing. What was their experience on this college campus? What were things that they enjoyed that they hadn't, you know, maybe at first they didn't think they were going to even enjoy. And when you're seeking out the perspective of people that are different from you, and I know I've said this already a lot in this answer, you're going to find your comforts. And so don't think that what you experience for your first week, your first month, is ultimately the next 4 years. No, that's just the beginning of the process of change. And it takes time to adjust to.
Absolutely. That's great advice. I love that. All right. Well, thank you so much for talking with me today. I have learned so much and I enjoyed this immensely. It was great talking to you and learning more about Wake Forest.
The library wants to be able to help teens on their journey as best we can. So for more information about college and career connections, please visit Charlotte Mecklenburg Library's website, cmlibrary.org/teens, and also check out the Career Exploration Spotlight podcast series. Thanks so much for tuning in and listening to today's episode. If you loved what you just heard or know someone who would, please share it. Take a screenshot of the episode and share it on social media, and don't forget to tag us. Last but not least, if you want to lend your personal support to what we're doing, leave a review on your podcast provider. Tune in every other week for a new episode of the College Exploration Spotlight series, and we'll see you then.